Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nokia, ball forward to Cullen. And the pressure always in the way with ball back. Jukovic is in on goal. He chips it over the goalkeeper and it's wide. So the referee's pointed to the spot. And Phillips on his 100th appearance for the Attic. Can he keep this one out? Hogan. It's a save by Phillips. The rebound from Hogan's over. And Dennis Phillips comes to Charlton's rescue. Dives to his right. Keeps out the shot from Hogan. And Charlton go away with it. Superb goalkeeping.
Williams can drive the ball now for Charlton. He's got Doughty on the overlap. Tries to find him as well. Doughty in the penalty area. Gets to it first. Doughty ball across. Goal to Pepin for Macaulay Bond. And Charlton have an important lead here. Brilliant work from Johnny Williams on the left-hand side. Ball down the line to Doughty. A superb run. The ball across goal. Finds Macaulay Bond. And 12 minutes into the second half, Charlton have the lead. Superbly worked on his left-hand side. They tried and tested Doughty, getting in behind the Burnley defence. Williams, with a driving run, managed to find the Charlton left-back, who superbly picked that bond. He just couldn't miss.
On the right, Bellingham. Right-hand edge of Charlton's penalty area, taking on Prattley. To his left, gets the ball in the box, into that far, saved by Phillips. Oh, now it's gone in. Can't see who got the final touch. It might have been Jukovic. It looked like Charlton had dealt with the additional danger. But somehow, the second ball was flicked in by Jukovic in the third minute of added time. Pedersen gets in front of him. Looked like he blocked him off. Puts the ball away and the referee then blows time. It's agony for Charlton. All 3 points looked like they were in the bag. And in the third minute of added time, Jukovic grabbed the late equaliser for the home side. And it's all square here at St Andrews. I've put my trust in you, pushed as far as I can go. For all this, there's only one thing you should know.
So hello and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes. We'll be looking back at last night's desperately disappointing late draw over at Birmingham City, and of course ahead to Saturday's massive, massive game with Wigan Athletic at the Valley as both sides look to try and secure their safety within the Championship. Joining me on the phone to do just that, first up we've got the calm analyst on Charlton Live, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Still calm.
Yeah? Yeah,
trying to remain positive as much as I can.
Were you calm at full time yesterday?
Relatively. The cat was sitting on me at the time. So Nathan just let himself out and went home, and that was that. So yeah, it was actually quite a calm end inside, I was assuming.
Yeah.
It looked very serene.
Yeah, well, good. It's a lovely image I've got in my head now. Also joining us on the phone, of course, is Mr. Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Can I just confirm as well that I'm not the cat?
I was just thinking that.
As soon as you introduced him, yeah. I'd better point that
yeah,
out.
That's what went through my ear. So in my mind, there's currently Tom. There's Nathan's leaving. That's fine. That problem dealt with. But then Tom is currently sitting there with Lewis sat on his lap consoling him after a late equaliser for Birmingham City. So there we go. We'll talk about that game. We just heard the devastating highlights there that Greg and Terry recorded on some sort of tin can and string operation up at Birmingham last night. We'll hear Lee Bowyer's reaction to that game. We'll hear pretty much most of his press conference, I think, from Wednesday evening because his pre-match presser isn't until Friday. So we won't have any pre-match from tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening. But he does look ahead to that game with Wigan as well in that clip. So we'll listen to that. We've got some correspondence that's come in from the listeners that we'll get into. We'll try and sit down and work out some permutations. There's only two games left of the season. Anything can happen. We could be safe by 5 o'clock on Saturday, or we could be very much in the relegation zone. So who knows what's going to happen. And of course, like I say, we'll look ahead to that game with Wigan. Massive game at the Valley against a side that just smacked eight past Hull City, so would appear to be in absolutely flying form. So Tom, I was at home yesterday. I watched on the stream and wanted to tear my laptop out of the port and just lob it out the window at full time because we were so close to being probably 95% safe.
Yeah. I said it on Sunday show that I thought if we won yesterday, we'd be safe. I know mathematically that wouldn't have been the case technically, but I just thought that would be enough, 49 points. And I'm caught in two minds, really, because I thought we were fortunate to be ahead. Obviously, we gave away the penalty, and there were times where I said it after the game yesterday where we made Birmingham look very, very good going forwards and didn't take our chances once again when we did get into the box. But we found ourselves ahead, and you think, yet again, right, if you're going to get ahead, you have to see a game out, a game of that importance. You just have to. And I saw people critical of Bowyer's substitutions, but I think actually, for me, he got most of them right. He did keep an attacking threat up there with Chucks, which was something we'd spoken about before. And I think if we'd have held on, it was a point you made a couple of shows ago, if we had held on, people would have said, well, that's because we kept Chucks on to stretch them at the back. But it wasn't to be, and it was such a sloppy goal to give away, people slipping over and it bobbling around the box, and just a really cruel end to the game. But as I've said plenty of times, if we are to go down this season, we've brought it on ourselves, because those are the sort of games you have to be able to see out, and we couldn't do it.
Yeah, Lewis, that's one of the things that Lee moans about in his post-match interview, is the fact that we don't see games out. It was 8 games we've dropped in added time. This season, you know, not even 85 minutes onwards. That's in added time that where we've conceded goals after 90 minutes, and it's cost us. And it cost us 2 points on Wednesday evening up at St Andrews. And as Tom said, I mean, it was just a crap goal. I mean, obviously Bellingham did well on the far side, and it sounds like Prattley had pulled up with a hammy, which is why he couldn't get across to him. But it's just bobbling around. Jukovic is in there; he's a handful, but he just lobs it over Dylan, sort of chips it over him slightly. It's just rubbish. Like I kind of wish it was a 25-yard screamer that we could have done nothing about.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I think it's devastating because we've been so complimentary of our defence throughout the season, really, because despite the fact that we're down the lower echelons of the table, we've never actually been ignoring the Huddersfield game properly thumped. You know what I mean? It's always been quite narrow defeats when we have lost. And we'll be really disappointed with the way we conceded yesterday, especially we started so poorly and grew into the game as it went on. It's just such a shame that we may run out of steam a little bit and maybe forced into some changes that we ideally wouldn't want to make, but we kind of have to expect to have to change things around when players aren't really fully fit. You know, Johnny Williams hasn't really played in 90 minutes for however long. Alfie could barely run at the end as well. So we were forced into changes, and you can't put it down to these personnel, you know, maybe coming on when we didn't want them to, because they were defensive subs. You know, Naby Sarr was brought in there for a bit of height. Prattley came on, and I feel sorry for him, and I think he'll be a massive miss if he is going to miss the rest of the season. And it's just totally frustrating that, as you say, it was such a terrible goal to concede after some pretty, you know, some good defending in that second half. There was a couple of good interventions from Tom Lockyer. Jason Pearce looked fairly solid. I thought Alfie had a bit of a wobbly start in the first half defensively. But I think, as I say, our defence has sort of shone throughout the season. And it's such a shame that we do have this sort of tendency to switch off at the end of games. And when you look back at some of the results where we have gifted something at the end of the game, the Huddersfield game, Huddersfield, Hull, these are all teams that are around us at the bottom, and as recently as Birmingham City yesterday, and it's a big, real big frustration. But you don't get a lot of time to turn it around and pick yourself up, do you? We've got to dust ourselves down pretty quickly and kick on Saturday.
Yeah. Tom, I mean, now before we delve further into the game itself, I guess we have to look at the mentality of how the lads are going to be feeling after that, because to be that close to, like we say, effectively securing safety and to have it snatched away from you in circumstances as they were disappointing defensively, I mean, it's something that Lee Bowyer's had to worry about a lot. You know, he has to make sure that he keeps the side reacting from setbacks. And we've had plenty of setbacks in the last few years and all sorts of trouble off the pitch. And he's got to make sure he can get them ready just for this one last push into the last couple of games of the season.
Yeah, and I don't think this isn't a team we can ever really fault their character. I think they've shown plenty of times that they can come back from adversity. The thing that does worry me at the moment is it must just be a lack of confidence, because we've seen a Bowyer team play nice football and we know he likes them to play it out from the back. But yesterday, it was like watching them under some of the foreign managers we had in under Rowland. It was just, or even Russell Slade, it was just sideways, 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 lump it long towards Macca and Hemed, lose it, get it back because we had tenacious midfielders, and then just knock it around the back again. And that has to come down to a lack of confidence to be able to play that killer pass. Because when Birmingham had the ball, and that's a Birmingham side that are coming off four straight defeats, you could see them doing the basics right, passing and moving, getting in between our lines. And we just weren't doing that. And Nathan and I said it really, that you play the two up front, and we wanted an attacking formation. But if you're only lumping it long to them, I don't really remember either of them having much to do apart from Macca's goal. And actually, we needed an extra man in midfield and to encourage the players to drop deep and pick up the ball in midfield, because there were times where Johnny was in his own half to come to collect the ball. And it was just, for me, that's the one concern, is the lack of confidence. And it's not like we can say, right, well, yes, we're going up against a Wigan side who've just scored eight, but we're at home and we're going to have the crowd behind us. It's a very sterile environment. And so we're not there to try and pick the players up when they're feeling like this. And I think it's then when having a crowd really does tell. So Bowyer's got to find a way to do that, because, as I say, the character of the boys, you know, they've done it before and they've shown that they can do it, and it's going to be an absolutely massive game again. But he's got to find a way to instill that belief in them that, you know, even if they do score one, either they need to try and play up for a second or they need to find a way to hold on. And yeah, he's got to find a way to do that, I think.
Yeah, again, Lewis, we'll hear from Bowyer in a little while, but he's scathing, isn't he, about the fact that we're not taking our chances when we're presented with them. Obviously, Macca got his goal yesterday. Great work from Johnny Williams and Alfie Doughty to lay it on a plate for him. And then there was a second chance where Chooks made the run, got the ball through the defender's leg, put it again on the plate for Macca. Now, I wonder if Lee hadn't seen a replay at that time, because I think Lee Camps pulled off a bit of a weldy of a save there, to be fair. You know, you could argue Macca might have hit it a little bit lower and not given the keeper a chance, but, you know, he's just flung himself at it and kept it out. And, you know, we've also seen that chance where Aidan McGeady has hit the post as well. So, I mean, Lee is probably right in saying that we need to take our chances more often. We scored four goals in seven games since coming back. And, you know, in terms of goals conceded, we haven't been too awful. It's going to be the fact that we don't score enough goals that if we are going to end up relegated, that's going to be the reason why.
Yeah, definitely. And it leads back to the frustration. And I think we'll hear Lee talk about it in a minute, about Lyle Taylor. You know, we've lost that talisman and the pressure on someone like Macaulay Bonn, who, you know, let's not take anything away from him. He was great earlier on in the season when he came in and filled Lyle Taylor's shoes. But the position we find ourselves in now, that pressure has undoubtedly increased. And especially with the fallout surrounding Lyle Taylor's departure, I think that he's wearing a lot on his shoulders. And it tells in these performances, because it's not even just the finishing quality. It's the chasing down the ball, it's the poor touches, and he just looks a man completely shocked of confidence. And I think we forget the standard he was playing last season, and the pressure is being, you know, the responsibility being expected of him now is one hell of a huge jump, and he's still a very young player. But that is going to be our Achilles heel. I said on Sunday that it's a real concern that we have these creative players that can sort of put these chances on a plate, yet we still can't seem to take them. We've had the opportunity at Millwall that Bond should have scored, the kind of carbon copy yesterday, which you could say Camp made a great save, but he catches that slightly better and it's 2-0. McGeady off the post as well, and all the chances we created at that Reading game. And I remember saying on Sunday that once we went 1-0 down to Reading, I kind of sort of resigned myself to the fact that I couldn't see us scoring twice. So to go one up yesterday, we're sort of desperate for that second goal to try and get breathing space. And it's been our problem, not just this season, but many a season, where we've lacked the cutting edge to go and get that second goal and try and see a game out. We always leave ourselves with these narrow advantages. And at the end of a game, when the pressure's on, we find ourselves, you know, sat around the valley in nail-biting conditions, and the teams are hitting the post, hitting the bar, cleared off the line or whatever. We're sort of leaving ourselves open for it. And as Tom mentions there, you haven't got the crowds to spur you on. You haven't got that 12th man that Boya says many a time that they thrive on. You know, it's so important with fans in the stadiums and stuff. And that's something that we have to adapt to, because it's a completely different environment. And the game on Saturday has such huge magnitude, and it's at the Valley. And the players will undoubtedly be incredibly frustrated that we can't be there to get behind them and try and give them that little extra push to get them over the line and try and secure our status in this division. But every team's in the same position, and we need to try and adapt, and we need to try and adapt quickly.
Yeah, certainly do. One of the things that concerned me last night, Tom, was the fact that I didn't think we were very fluid in the first half. You know, we'd perhaps enjoyed a little bit more of the ball than Birmingham did, but we didn't seem to be doing a great deal with it. I think that one cross from McGeady that was just in front of Johnny Williams was probably the only sort of half chance that we had. And I wonder if our first half was almost summed up in the way we conceded the penalty. You know, Josh Cullen has been so dependable for us. Just got his feet in a bit of a medal when he tried to play the ball back into our own penalty area and gifted it to I think it was Hogan, or was it Djukovic, who went through and was taken down. And then Dills sort of let us off the hook a little bit. Brilliant save. Shocking miss on the rebound from Hogan. But yeah, we weren't really at it in the first half. There was, for me, an improvement in the second period. But we can't really afford to have too many halves of football like that anymore.
No, we can't afford to have any of them now. We've got four halves of football left, and they've all got to be very, very good. And I completely agree. And I go back to my last point, which it has to be a confidence thing. And I saw a few people last night saying on Twitter that, you know, if we'd have been given the position we were in at the start of the season, they'd have absolutely bit your hand off. And to a certain extent, I agree with that. But also what's really difficult to accept with where we are now and the risk we've got of going down is we've seen on plenty of occasions this season how good a side we can be. And I think there are lots of factors in there. So obviously losing Connor, Jonathan, Lecco and Lyle has made a massive difference on the final third. I don't think anyone could deny that. I think off the field has had an impact as well. All the injuries have had an impact. So I get that there has been factors. And in some ways, to find ourselves where we are is a miracle. But also, we've shown so many times that we can play football that I almost think, you know, we should be doing better. And I think that's the thing that Boya is kind of getting at with his press conferences as well, that he sees us as a side that I don't think necessarily we should have been competing for the top six all season, but as a side that actually could have been a bit higher up the middle of the table, if you like, and certainly safe by now. And I do think on reflection at the end of the season, wherever we finish, we will look back and go, he's worked a miracle given the budget he's had and all those other stuff that I talked about. But as you say, just, we were so ponderous last night, so ponderous and so slow, and just there was just no urgency and no fluidity, I think was the word you used. And that's very unlike us at the moment. And that's what's really disappointing, because as you say, we're coming up against a Wigan side who are not only in flying form, but are just at eight goals past an all right, pretty terrible Hull side. But they're obviously going to be full of confidence and can't wait to get back into playing football again. And we're going to be off the back of a 93rd, 94th minute equaliser. So he's really got to work hard this week and earn his money and pick those players back up, because we haven't got any time to feel sorry for ourselves. As you said, we've got four halves of football left, and they've all got to be pretty much perfect for us to make sure we're still in this league next season.
I mean, just before we hear from Lee Bowyer then, Lewis, I mean, there was a lot of chat, and I think we've touched upon it already, really, about the fact that, you know, the likes of Johnny Williams and Alfie Doughty went off yesterday, and then Adrian McGeady followed not too long after. I saw a lot of people suggest, you know, we were sitting back a bit, which, I mean, that does happen. When you go a goal up, you tend to sit back, you know, it's natural almost. But, I mean, at the same time, Bo said that, you know, if he could, he would have kept those players on the pitch. It's just they haven't got the legs in them. So you can see how it's a tough one for Lee, and, you know, he has to still be very carefully managing the minutes of the players that he's got out there.
Yeah, of course he does, because, I mean, he's still got two huge 90 minutes of football to try and get these players through. You know, we've seen it with Prattley. Now, that's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a, not a freak injury, if you like, but a hamstring strain from probably playing a lot of football. And you have to be careful. You do have to look after these players because we need them. Like, we're not blessed with the biggest of squads anyway. And we've got two huge games to try and keep ourselves in this division. I think in regards to the sort of sitting back comments that we've seen, I think that, yes, we did maybe sit back and play slightly negatively towards the tail end of that game, but we don't score a second goal. Like, you either carry on as you're going to try and push and get a second, probably not, and potentially leave yourself open, or you try and shore the game up, and it's just frustrating that we sort of went defensive and still managed to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot and chuck away that win that would have been huge. And I think we probably would have been safe if we'd have won yesterday. But as Tom says, we have to try not to dwell on it too much. Saturday is humongous now, and so is the Leeds game. The players don't have a huge amount of time to pick themselves up, and as supporters, we don't either. You know, one minute you're watching, you're sort of punching the ground, frustrated, and then it's Saturday and you've got to do it all over again. So we've got to try and just kick on and believe, because I do think we have enough to stay in the division. I really, really do. I think that we deserve to stay in the division because I think we've played some fantastic football this season. We've been dealt some pretty terrible luck throughout the season off the field and with injuries. And I think that we deserve a chance to give this division a real go next year under Lee Bowyer. And hopefully, we don't want to talk about the ownership at the moment, but hopefully some stability going forward at some point as well is the dream, isn't it? So yeah, we've got to try and stay positive and focus on staying in the championship first of all.
Yeah, that's more hope than expectation, I think, stability going forward. Anyway, right, let's listen to what Lee Bowyer said then after the game up at Birmingham. He also talks about looking ahead to the Wigan game in this little bit as well. When we've heard from Bo, we'll discuss some of the permutations around what could happen this weekend. We've got some tweets and emails to read out, and we'll have a proper in-depth look at the game with Wigan as well. So this is what Bo made of yesterday's game. I asked him how he was feeling at full time.
Not good. Can't see a game. We don't manage it well. Other teams, they manage the game better going into injury time. They slow things down. They get fouls. They buy fouls. We don't do that. There's no way that they should score there. We've got three centre halves on the pitch, and they're bombarding our box with long balls and long throws. It was the only way they were going to score. And for the ball to get squared across our 6-yard box, and for someone to get a free chance when you've got three centre halves on the pitch, like, it shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen. So, but again, I'm going to echo. I'm just feel like I'm saying the same things. It's the weekend, same as the weekend. This game, we should have won this game comfortably. Hit the post. Chances, missing clear cut chances from 4 yards out again, in the middle of the goal. You keep doing. You ain't going to win games. You miss things like that, you don't win. Once you go 2-0 up, done. The game's finished. Done. We had so many chances for that to happen. First half, I thought we were the better side. We moved the ball well. got in behind him a few times, but he just lacked that little bit of quality in the final third, the last pass. But second half, I thought we was much better at that side of things. The last pass was always good. Made the right decisions and the weight of pass, everything was good. Just didn't put the ball in the back of the net. And for as long as it's 1-0, they've always got a chance to come back. Should have been done, finished. But that's why we're in this situation, because now, since we've come back, we just missed too many chances.
Obviously, it's a big blow for your squad, because I guess if you hang on to the 3 points this evening, you're almost over the line. So it's a big job to pick them up again for another tough one on Saturday.
Yeah, if we won tonight, for me, I think 49 is safe. Looking at who others have got to play, and that would have put us on 49. With our goal difference, I think we would have been safe. And to concede the way we did, it hurts a lot. Hurts a lot. And another big game the weekend. Can we go and win that game? Of course we can. On that day, we can beat anybody. But it hurts. Even from coming back from this lockdown, the amount of pressure and chances we've created on other teams, we should be well out of sight. There's no way we should be competing to stay in this league. It should be done. We should be safe. Created enough chances to win flipping two games again tonight. Unfortunately, you don't take a chance. You don't win games. You won't stay in this division. It's plain and simple.
I guess it's something that obviously was spoken about a lot at the time, but with all these fine margins, I guess that the fact that your top scorer was taken away from you, I mean, that must hurt even more now. You think a Lyle Taylor might take a couple more of those chances, it could be a different story.
But I don't want to talk about that. Obviously, Lyle's not here. So there's no point dwelling on it. He's not here. If Lyle was here, then we would have been safe. 100% we would have been safe. Lyle don't miss them chances that we're creating. But he ain't here, so there's no point talking about Lyle. At the end of the day, the players we do have here should be taking them chances. They're not hard chances. You see them. You see where they're getting the chances from. They're not hard to score from there. So whether Lyle's in the side or not, it makes no difference. Our players are good enough to take them chances to win this game.
One of the positives from this evening, I thought Alfie Doughty was very good again, and he obviously played his part in the goal, and Dylan as well made the penalty save and made a superb save shortly after he went 1-0 up as well.
Yeah, Dylan played well, made a couple of good saves. Alfie's learning the game, done well, good energy. He's learning the game, you know. Some things he does is not good. He's still learning. He's a kid, young kid. He's playing in the Championship, and he done well for the goal. I think a lot of them played well. A lot of them played well tonight. Yeah, Alfie was good.
Just finally, before I hand over to Tell then, I mean, obviously we feel a bit upset because it's a last-minute goal, but the fact is, I mean, Charlton could be safe at 5 o'clock on Saturday if we get our win and results go our way. Obviously, it's against a Wigan side who got a remarkable result last night. It's obviously a thing you see once in 100 years, but, you know, they're going to be flying for the confidence. They're one of the form sides in the division in the second half, so especially since coming back from lockdown. How do you approach that game?
The same way we approach every game. We're trying to do what we're good at. We move the ball, and we create chances, and we will defend well. That's what we do. Sounds a bit like I'm contradicting myself because they've just scored in injury time, but they're a good, strong physical side, Birmingham, and we had to defend our box well. for periods of the game when they're putting free kicks and long throws into it. So we're going to have to do the same against Wigan. And yeah, they're on a high. But it's not like we're playing bad. I think, again, we was a better side again tonight. Come away with a point could turn out to be a valuable point.
Hi, Lee. As you said, tough one to take. I know you probably won't want to hear the stat, but I think we're looking at somewhere in the region of seven games we've conceded goals in added time. And those points, the difference between where we are now and maybe even looking challenging for the playoffs earlier on in the season. So it is those fine margins that separate where we are to where we could be.
Yeah, that ain't a good stat, is it? It's not pretty. But like I said, we've got big players on the pitch to defend the long balls and the long throws. You have to see it out. You have to manage the game. We didn't do that. It only takes one person to slip to fall asleep. Then it costs you. And he's unlucky, really. Pratty was carrying an injury. At the end there, it's just unlucky that he was the one that was against the young lad that got to the byline. If he'd have been okay, then he wouldn't have got the crossing. So, but it is what it is. And then once the cross comes in, you have to defend your box properly. Like I said, three centre-halves and a full-back, all within 6 yards, 7 yards of each other. How does someone then get across you? Shoot and get the rebound. That shouldn't happen.
We had to put up with a decent amount of pressure from the home side in the first 10 minutes or so, but after that, the penalty probably to a certain extent came against the run of play a little bit. Is it the case when Wigan come to us, obviously with the confidence they've got, they're not going to be sitting back, they're going to come at us a little bit more, but is that better for us because we can exploit the space behind as we did tonight?
I don't think it makes much difference. Birmingham sat there tonight and I thought we was patient, very patient, and we kept moving the ball until we did create. At times, we was a bit fortunate, like where we got caught in possession. Like Josh, for the penalty, I thought Josh was unlucky. He tried to do the right thing because if we just go back to front with long balls, then we ain't gonna beat them. So, but today we was brave and we kept passing it until we opened them up and we got in behind them a good few times. Like you said, first 10 minutes, they're at home and they're gonna try and affect things. But after that, I thought we settled down well and was the better side.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's
it!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Jones has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, all.
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Oh
Charlton Live.
So welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We just heard there from Lee Bailey his post-match press conference after last night, Wednesday night's draw. It felt like a defeat, but it was actually a draw up at Birmingham City. You could hear how deflated he was. You know, he comes in to speak to us not 20 minutes after full time, and he hasn't got it out of his system yet. He's so frustrated with the fact we aren't taking chances to finish the game off. The fact that we're not defending properly, seeing the game out properly, which is something that he'll obviously hope that we'll be able to work on between now and Saturday. I mean, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that came in. Let's have a look. Let's go straight to this one from Tom Bramley, because actually he's worked out some of the permutations for us on a little Excel thingy. So the table as it stands. So as of time of recording, we've just finished watching Barnsley heroic defeat up at Leeds. They played really well, Barnsley. They were full hard done by there, but they did come away with nothing. They were beaten 1-0 by champions elect Leeds United, although hopefully we'll be raining on that parade in a couple of games' time. So Barnsley are sat at the bottom of the table on 43. Luton and Hull are both still in the relegation zone on 45. They play each other on Saturday. We're sat just outside it on 47. Huddersfield are on 48. They play promotion hopefuls West Bromwich Albion on Friday evening. So a tough game for them, but they're all tough for everyone really at this stage of the season. Birmingham and Middlesbrough on 50 points. I mean, Lee Bowyer said in his clip that he believes that Birmingham are safe now on 50. So realistically, we're concentrating on those five teams down the bottom. And of course, Wigan, who are currently on 57 points, but that will go down to 45 themselves when their points deduction kicks in. Their goal difference is currently a lot healthier. They're on plus one, whereas Hull are on minus 26, Luton are on minus 30. So they'll be outside of the relegation zone as it stands if their points deduction comes into play. So really, you know, I'd say the Huddersfield-West Brom game is sort of hanging over us as a little bit of, well, it'd be nice if Huddersfield can get beat, because then even if we only draw with Wigan, it's a chance to move up a place, potentially. Hull are playing Luton at the KCOM on Saturday. And that simply has to be a draw for us, really. If that game ends as a draw and we win our game, Tom, then that'll be that. I mean, that's how close we are to this nightmare being over. It's so close you can almost taste it.
Yeah, and I think I said on, I think it was Sunday show or maybe last week, that where possible we need to just try and concentrate on ourselves. But you're right, we're at that stage of the season now where every other game makes such a big difference to our position that you can't help but look at it. And you're right, that game between those two is just so important to what happens to us. And I'll go back to the point, obviously we have to win our game first and foremost, because if we don't, I don't really care what happens there, to be honest. But If we can get a win and that is a draw, I agree with you that we'll be safe. I think 49 points will keep you up. Mm. 3 weeks ago, maybe even 2 weeks ago, I didn't think that it would. But the way results have gone, I think, was it the weekend? Everybody pretty much lost down there. And it is so tight, but I do think because we would go up to 49, I know that
we'd go up to 50. We're on there.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I forgot that we got a point last night, like you. So yeah, that would comfortably be enough, and with our goal difference as well, then that's going to be huge. Yeah. Now, if not, we're going to have to go to Leeds and get something. Whether it's a draw, we're going to need to get something. And I just think, even if they've won the title, it's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? They're either going to be on a Liverpool hangover, or they're going to be really up for it to, you know, storm it a final game of the season at home. And I don't want to have to leave it to them. So if we could please just get it done Saturday, that would be good.
I've been talking about if we win and if Hull and Luton ends as a draw. Now Tom worked out his spreadsheet for me with Wigan's points deduction already in. Now when I work out our fixtures, I tend not to do that purely because I know there's an appeal. I've no idea how likely that is to be successful. My guess is unlikely. But I'm playing it safe. Now, Tom Bramley has done this spreadsheet with Wigan's deduction already in. Now, if we win, because obviously we would have taken the points off Wigan, they won't be able to pick up any further points. And if their point deduction goes through, then we are safe, whatever happens at Hull. You know, if Wigan if we're going to beat them by us, and if Hull and Luton either beat one of them beats each other or it's a draw, then we'll be safe. That'll be that. So, I mean, effectively, we get the 3 points on Saturday. You know, everyone down the halfway house for a pint. We're in celebratory mode. Now, this is where it gets interesting. If we draw with Wigan, so again, this is assuming that Wigan get their points deduction. If we draw with Wigan and Hull and Luton, Wigan also, is also a draw, then we'd need a point at least to guarantee staying up, because at that point would push us 3 ahead of those two sides below us. You know, so whatever they did, their goal difference is a lot poorer than ours. So we potentially need to, if both games end in a draw, we potentially need to go and get something at Leeds. If we draw and Hull beat Luton or Luton beat Hull, then the only way we can guarantee our safety is if we beat Leeds United or hope that they drop points. So, this is the one that doesn't bear thinking about, but could easily happen. If we lose and Hull and Luton is a draw, then we might be able to get away with a point at Leeds, but we might have to go there and win to stay up. And if there's a win either away for Hull or for Luton and we get beaten by Wigan, then we'd have to go and beat Leeds and hope that there's points dropped, or draw and hope again that either of those sides lose. So it's not that clear, Lewis, but it'll be a lot clearer come 3 o'clock on Saturday when we finished our game, and then we'll start watching the Hull and Luton game. I am so desperate for this all to be over at 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, you and me both, mate. You and me both. It's tough, isn't it? You forget how tense these things can be, and we've seen it since we've come back. Like the form of the teams in the bottom, sort of, that were written off before, has been pretty phenomenal, isn't it? Really, like Wigan's form is fantastic, especially given that what they're going through off the pitch, with the points deduction and everything as well. Players earning 20% to go out and beat a relegation rival 8-0 is nothing short of sensational. The only team really that's been sort of outstandingly disappointing through all of this has been Hull. I think that we've picked up results. Yes, it's been frustrating these last few games, but we've not had a hiding like some of the others have. Barnsley are probably just too far off now. I think we really do need to focus just on whoever finishes 23rd and 22nd. I think that my main concern really is Luton, because I think they've had, almost ignoring the result that they had against Reading, they've had a bit of that new manager / returning old manager bounce, haven't they? They've picked up some results and got themselves, when they looked like they had no hope at all, got themselves within touching distance. So they're going to be up for it against Hull. And if you're Hull and you've just lost 8-0, how do you bounce back from that? How do you pick yourselves up in three days?
Play for a draw, in my opinion. Just stick 11 men behind the ball, play for a 0-0, please, Hull.
Yeah, exactly. Do that, please. And hope that Luton are as bad up front as we are. Yeah.
It's interesting, actually, that we talk about that form that all the sides down the bottom were showing. I think it was only a couple of weeks ago we put out that tweet with how everyone was playing like Barcelona 1970 down the bottom. But actually, there's not a team in the bottom 6-7 that have won more than one in their last 5 now. We haven't won in our last 5. Birmingham haven't won in their last 5. Huddersfield have only won once in their last 5. Hull have only won once in their last 5. Luton and Barnsley have both won once in their last 5. In fact, Luton are the only team to have won any games in their last 4. And that was 2 games ago. They got a win up at Huddersfield, didn't they? So, I mean, that form has started to tail off. It's interesting, isn't it, Tom, the way that teams came back from lockdown. You know, and I remember saying in the shows beforehand, it's almost going to be like a mini pre-season with some strange results. And that's what we've seen, because now teams are just sort of falling back into that pattern that they were displaying before lockdown started.
Yeah, teams or players maybe are starting to tire, I think. And as I said, for Charn, it just looks like maybe even a lack of confidence that's got them. I'm not really sure, but I mean, it's obviously a positive thing as far as we're concerned, because we're not the only ones struggling, and you don't want to have to rely on others. But if you are going to lose games, at least the others are doing similar as well. But yeah, I think I still think all the sides down there deserve credit to have come back the way they have. And I'm obviously glad that some of them are tailing off now, because obviously we have a little bit as well. But Lewis is right, you know, we obviously got those two wins, and again, I think I maybe mentioned it on Sunday, but we got those two wins and the draw at the start, and then the loss against Millwall, you expect as a Charlton fan, and the loss against Brentford after we, you know, defended well for a long period of that game, were decent. It's just the last couple of games we've really tailed off and looked lethargic and sluggish. But I did think there was energy. You mentioned that second half. I think there was energy in our play at bits of times in that second half. I thought McGeady and Williams both looked lively. I thought Doherty looked good. So we have got a lot of pace in that midfield if the right selection's played. So you've just got to hope that one of those players has just, you know, one of those days where everything turns to gold. And if we can get ourselves a goal and get ourselves ahead, as I say, I know we're going to are on a good run of form at the moment, but if we can just get that goal in front, and then if we just need one of those days, that's the thing. And as you say, a lot of the sides down there haven't had those in the last few weeks, but it's got, I just feel like it's got to turn around again. And I really was confident last night. And then when, as soon as the game kicked off, you could just tell it was going to be one of those tough nights. So yeah, it's, again, mentioned it a few times, it's just not a nice time to be a football fan. I'm not enjoying watching any of these games, and like you, I'll just be glad when it's all done, to be honest.
Yeah, so massive thanks to Tom Bramley there for sending us the permutations. I mean, the fixtures for the sides down there, and I'm counting Huddersfield. So Huddersfield have got to play West Brom, and then they've got to play Millwall. So they have got a couple of tough fixtures there, two teams chasing promotion, obviously Millwall chasing an outside chance of the playoffs. Normally I'd be rooting against them, but we need Huddersfield to, you know, we need every team down there to be losing it if possible. Obviously Hull and Luton face each other on Saturday. Luton are then at home to Blackburn on the final day, whilst Hull travel to Cardiff, a side who of course again will be chasing the playoffs. Barnsley have still got to play Forest, and then they are away to Brentford, so they've got two very tough fixtures as well. So, you know, we're looking at the sides around us. Wigan, obviously, after playing us, they play Fulham. So everyone's got tough games, including ourselves, because we've got to play a good Wigan side. We've got to play a Leeds side, who are the best team in the division, even if they didn't play that well again today against Barnsley. You know, it's going to be huge. Well, let's have a look at some of the other messages that came in. Lawrence says, "Hi, guys. Just want to thank Greg and Terry for making the best of a bad situation yesterday." Yeah, they had problems with their box, unfortunately, but I know Terry's been down the valley today and it's all tested fine, so hopefully I have something ready for you for Saturday. Lawrence says, "To start yesterday just showed how we cannot hold on to a lead. The boys played well, in my opinion, but it's simply when you have a low budget, transfer embargoes, a League One squad with little to no investment, and your main forwards drops you right in it, we have all the difficulties. I have faith in the team and Boyer. Boyer has done an amazing job to keep us with a fight to stay in the division. He has been dealing with an unprecedented amount of insanity behind him and a major injury crisis in front of him. He deserves full praise from us. At the end of the day, we all love Charlton. We will never do anything the easy way. If we get relegated, I'll still be there next season. I will still go to the away games. And most importantly, I'll still listen to Charlton Live. One of the Charlton Live crew said that he expected us to go down and he was just going to enjoy the ride." That's Nathan, yeah? "And I have ever since the first goal at Blackburn away, I've loved it. Up the Addicts." Well done, Lawrence. I'm glad you've enjoyed the ride. I'm still enjoying it, even if I, at the same time, seem to be hating every minute of it. But there you go. That's been a Charlton fan. For you, Man in Pants said, "I've tried to stay upbeat, but now getting prepared for League One. It's only a 25-minute drive from my house to Sunderland, so one possible positive. Alfie should have stayed on, and Aidan McGeady." Neville says, "So frustrating, but seeing how bad Liverpool have been since winning the title does give me hope that Leeds might do the same if they get promoted before playing us. I back the boys to stay up one way or another. Survival or not, I love this team and the fight that they show every week." I mean, Lewis, do you reckon, I mean, I don't know if you watched the Leeds game this evening, but they look very nervous today. Obviously, they're so close. You know, they could even already be promoted before they even kick a ball again, depending on what happens over the weekend now. But they're so close. I really hope that they have nothing to play for by the time they face us and they just go out on a massive, massive bender.
You and me both, mate. I think that would be, that's the ideal scenario, isn't it? Turn up and Leeds are still all seeing like two of each other from the title celebrations. That would be ideal. But I think, you know, it's always the Charlton way to do things the hard way. And I think we've all sort of got used to that now. Of course, it's been tough. These last five games have been disappointing. We haven't been awful. I actually thought that yesterday's first half was probably the worst we've actually been since we come back from lockdown. I think we've been okay. It's just the finishing off the chances that is letting us down. And I think that we've got enough to get something out of Wigan on Saturday. I think it's going to be incredibly nervy. But I like to try and not think about relying on results elsewhere. But we, like you said, we've got to a point now where we kind of have to. Look, with this Luton and Hull game is massive.
And we're playing Leeds, so we almost certainly have to rely on results elsewhere. It's a horrible situation
to be.
People tweet, because I tweet about the other team scores all the time, and people always tell me, oh, you can only rely on yourselves. So I was like, no, I'm relying on everyone else. Thank you very much. Right, Dom tweets in saying, heartbreaker yesterday, but this squad has given us everything. Lee's hand is clearly being forced with who he plays. I think fans are frustrated because they aren't understanding that. Hope Bond gets a brace soon. He's in all the right places. You guys worked out how we can beat Wigan at all. Well, we'll try and work that out when we come on to the preview, but we'll see. Harry says, if we go down, does Boya stay? I would think 100%. I would 100% keep him, but it does seem that the question is being raised. I mean, the only question that would be raised is if Boya would walk away to another club. I mean, Birmingham have been linked. There'd be no way, surely, that we sack him. There'd be no one to sack him, the rate we're going. But I can't see a situation where, if we go down, that the club makes a decision to get rid of Lee Boya, can you, Tom?
I'd be very surprised. Very surprised. I think what I said on the last show was I could see him going because he just gets sick of everything else that's going on above him. But I don't see why the club would choose to get rid of him. I think there's a few people who are kind of saying his tactics have been a bit negative and whatever, but you get that. You know, if you lose a game and you've brought players on to try and see a game out, you're going to get people that complain because you're annoyed that you've not managed to see the game out. So, no, look, do I think he's the greatest manager of all time? Well, let's wait and see, because it's early days, but what he's done in the space of two and a bit seasons, I think is incredible, and he deserves a lot more time. He's been given a long contract, and I think he's earned that. And he hasn't really had a proper crack at the Championship, has he? Because he's had restrictions in terms of his wages. He's managed to put a squad together, and there were plenty of people last night who were comparing our midfield to the League One midfield and saying, well, that one was far better than the one we've got now. And I think there's certainly an argument there to have that debate. So I think we're basically playing a Championship season with a League One squad, and we're not bottom of the league. And I think we deserve credit for that, and Boya deserves a lot of credit for that. So, no, I don't think I'd be very surprised if the owners get rid of him, but then I don't really know who the owners are, if we've even got any owners. So who knows? But he certainly doesn't deserve to go.
Yeah, certainly. You're right. Southern Comfort says, ultimately, the inability to put away chances will cost us big time. I'll take a point against Wigan and then say my prayers for the final day. If we go down, it won't be without a fight to the death. Colin says, my thoughts are that we aren't down yet, and that's how we have to stay. Need to get behind Lee and the boys. Come on, you addicts. Yeah, good point from Colin. That's the only thing that, you know, the way people were banging on after full time last night, you'd think we were 5 points adrift. We're not even in the relegation zone. There's two games left to go. CFC 1905 says that our form has been absolutely awful since November 2019. Yeah, we can't argue with that. I think he's shown me the table since Gerhard Struber took over at Barnsley. I think Sky must have put that graphic up after the game today. In the 28, 29 games that everyone's played since then, Charlton are second bottom. But, you know, we had that massive injury crisis. And luckily, you know, the season is played over the course of a whole season, not just the bit where we were really struggling. And Ashley says, it's in our hands at the moment, but we're at the brick in it stage because we know we're in trouble. Charlton need to be proactive and attack Wigan because I don't have confidence in us holding out if we're sitting back. We've got to score more than one. Chris Thompson says, it's all in our hands, not the time to be all doom and gloom. Teams concede and team scores goals in extra times. You know, we scored in 94 at Wembley, good point. The team have done amazingly well considering who we have lost and everything that has happened this year. Everyone should be getting behind the boys for the big one on Saturday. We certainly will be. We'll be looking ahead to that game after this break here on Charlton Live. It's the Big Match Preview.
Charlton can play on here as Kyle has the ball. Bond over to the left-hand side. Kyle finds him. And Bentley's coming out of his goal. And Bond's got past him. Bond with the chance. Yeah! Bond with the goal.
Oh, what a goal.
End-to-end stuff here at Ashton Gate. gets another goal. Bentley, for whatever reason, came out of his goal. Bond gets there first, and with a tidy left-footed finish and end-to-end stuff, Pachon have the lead.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live in the home straight now. The big match preview. We're looking ahead to Saturday's huge game with Wigan Athletic. We're not really talking about the ownership situation on this show. I know there's potentially a court case tomorrow between East Street Investments and Matt Southall, but I don't think we really need to get into that now, to be honest. I'm only worrying about the football. Maybe we'll talk about that on Sunday if anything interesting comes out of it. But it's up in Manchester, and you know, there's been all this falling out and the changing of the company's house data and all this sort of stuff. So you may be interested in trying to find out what's going on with that tomorrow. But I'm only talking about football this week, Tom. And I mean, this game against Wigan, I mean, even I was getting carried away, quite enjoying their game against Hull in midweek, because I can't remember ever seeing a team going 7-0 up at half-time. It was a remarkable result from a Wigan side that just do not know when to quit. You know, their form since Christmas has been remarkable. They've been completely up against it. They've had this unbelievable situation with the ownership and the administration that's cost them 12 points. And it would appear that they've played themselves again, almost out of it. They've saved themselves twice this season, and you have to take your hat off to them. But we're not going to do that Saturday.
Yeah, you're right. You do have to. And like anyone who's got a wider interest in football, the way that they've been treated is wrong. The 12-point deduction is unfair, and it's, you know, very unfortunate for them. But despite all that, if they get a 12-point deduction and go down instead of us, you know, selfishly, I'm going to be absolutely buzzing. But on the pitch, they've been absolutely, as you said, absolutely brilliant. Their form, again, not just since the restart, but since the turn of the year, has been amazing. And they're a club that deserve a lot of credit because, as you say, there's a lot going on off the pitch, similar to us, worse at the moment. And they're just getting on with it and playing their games. And you're right, I was exactly the same on the other night when they were winning. And it always seems to be the case that team goes in at half-time 7-0 and it never ends up 14, does it? But yeah, you've just got to hope that maybe they got all those goals out of their system and then they're going to come up against little old Charlton, who are going to sneak a 1-0. And to be honest, I don't care if it comes off Jason Pearce's arse or, you know, Prattley. Well, he won't be there, but Johnny Williams almost did a Prattley, didn't he, the other night, and almost bundled it in. I don't really care what it takes. We've just got to get the 3 points. And I think we said there was a lot of pressure of us going into Birmingham, and there's even more pressure now because we obviously didn't get all 3 points there. So, yeah, it's about how those players handle that pressure. And without getting too silly, because obviously Wigan were clearly coming forward to win 8-0. But we like a team that come at us, and we like a team that comes out and plays, and Wigan appear to be doing that. I think that's pretty clear. So that might play into our hands, but we definitely need to step our game up from the last couple of performances and try and rediscover some form.
Yeah, 10 clean sheets in their last 11 games. Lewis, I mean, obviously the 8 goals that they scored got the headlines against Hull, but their rear guard action is incredible at the moment. The only time they've conceded in those 11 games is they let 3 in against Wigan, you know, against Brentford, obviously, who don't have any trouble finding the back of their net. So for a team that's been traditionally quite goal shy like us, I mean, that's going to pose a real problem, a real beard scratcher for us as we go into that game. And Lee Bowyer is going to have to try and find a way to make sure we create these chances against a side that obviously doesn't give too many away.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the turnaround in Wigan's form is nothing short of remarkable. We've got to be at our very best on Saturday to try and break that defence. And like you say, on paper, it doesn't look great because of our attacking record at the moment isn't too good. And obviously the Wigan confidence coming off the back of that win is going to be through the roof. But all we can do is approach the game our way. You know, it's a completely different fixture. I can't see us. That's like I've always said along. I think defensively we're pretty good. So coming off the back of an 8-0 win, I'd like to think that they're not going to try and do the same to us. And I don't think that we're capable of conceding that many in a game anyway, so that's always, well, I'm touching wood just in case, but it's going to be a huge game, and the players are going to have to step up. People that are that are under the pressure now, you know, Macaulay Bond, who I've said already I sympathise with greatly, is going to have to step up. You know, everyone has a part to play in making sure that this club remains a championship club next season. And it's going to be a real hard graft. I think that we have to really be at our best on Saturday to get anything out of this game. And I think Boya won't expect any less than that. And I think that if we can get that win Saturday against a Wigan side in the form they are, then that probably just about sees us safe in the division.
Yeah, it would. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves, because we got to work out how we're going to do that, Tom, get that win. How do you attack this in terms of lineup? Because, you know, I like to see Johnny Williams start. I like to see Alfie Doughty start. They both started in midweek. They both came off early because obviously minutes are, you know, have to be rationed at this level. I mean, surely you go into this game with your best, most attacking team, and sure, you know, and I believe that it includes those two players.
I definitely think that first point is right. You go in with your best attacking team. I'm not entirely sure I know what that is. I think I would expect those two to be there. But I wonder whether you play just the one up front and then pack that midfield. Because as I said earlier, there just seemed to be a lack of creativity and movement in the midfield the other night. And I think if you maybe get, I don't know, a Cullen and a Field like we had done, and four at the back, and then you play, I don't know, McGeady, Williams, Morgan, and then, or Chucks, Morgan and Williams, and then just Bon up front. I don't think Hemed has done enough, and him up there encourages us to lump it long. But I think if you just have one up front and you put two or three very creative players just behind that striker, you've got one of them dropping deep, two of them running off the attacker. It gives us more options creatively going forward. So I'd like to see that myself. I thought Chucks did well when he came on the other day as well. So I think you could play Chucks in there. You, like I said, Aiden, we haven't seen any of Ozzy, so I don't know what's going on with him, but you could play Johnny. Albie again, if you're going to look to shut a game up, based on what Boya said about him, play Albie from the start and then bring him off if you need to defend. And you're right, Doughty as well. And I wonder whether even you look at him playing more in that final third and put someone like Purrington behind him. But I guess that very much depends on whether Boya's going to go three or four at the back. But I don't know enough about Wigan to know which of those it will be. But the last couple of lineups, I think I said on Sunday show, the lineup against Reading confused me a little bit. And the lineup last night, it was attacking for sure. But again, that Hemed and Bond combination up front just didn't work for me. So it goes back to that same point that for the first time in the season, really, he's got plenty of options. The problem is that whichever combination he seems to pick, it's just not quite clicking over these last few games. So that's the important thing for me. It's not, of course, it's about how we set up, but it's more about once those players get out there, how they perform. And we need big games from them. And you know how much I love Johnny Williams, but you could argue that some of his performances recently, although he can't complete a full game, have been very good. And he's either provided the assist or the pass before the assist in our last few goals. So I think someone like him has to be in there. I think McGeady looked good and obviously hit the post last night. So we've got that creativity in the side. It's just about unlocking it and having a formation that allows them to just go out and express themselves. And I think that's what Boya needs to find on Saturday.
Yeah, and he needs to find goals as well. And I'm praying that his side do that, because it is a massive game at the Valley on Saturday. Don't forget to get your Valley pass. Signing all sorted out, because you'll be huddled around that laptop and with everything crossed, that praying that the Addicts can get the 3 points. Let's have some predictions then ahead of this massive game. Tom, how do you think it's going to go against Wigan?
1-0.
To us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Praying. Who's getting it?
I fancy Albie to get a goal.
Nice. And then
Albie Morgan.
And then he's celebrating just by running backwards into his own penalty area and going to Bo, look what I can do, look what I can do. Right.
Headbutting a Wigan player, giving away a penalty.
And Lewis, how's it going to go?
You know what, I'm going to say 2-1 Charlton, we get a late winner.
Nice. Oh, that could be amazing. Who's going to score?
Wembley vibes.
Yeah, Patrick Bauer coming back on loan just for one game. Right, okay, that sounds good. Right. Let's call it an end then on this massive, massive big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've listened to the show. Thanks to Tom and Lewis for joining me.
Thanks, Tom. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys. I've been Louis Mendez. We'll be back here on Sunday when we could be safe or we could be mired in the relegation zone with one game to go against the potential champions. Who knows? We'll find out over the course of the weekend. Hope you enjoy the game. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll speak to you on Sunday evening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.